All right, and we are recording these, but if you want to bring your phone with you and just go to your voice memos and record for your personal use, that's okay too. So tell me your name again, sir.
It's Kirk.
Kirk. All right. All right. Father, thank you for our brother here. Thank you for, Lord, the tenderizing process you have brought him through over and over. And you've said sometimes, like, Lord, are you done yet? I feel like I am over-tenderized. And God said, oh, I just delight, you know, in the softening process and the tenderizing. There was a season of just wear and tear where, you know, God had to break up your fallow ground. That's such an interesting phrase, break up your fallow ground, that Hosea said. And there was a breaking up of fallow ground because there was this repetitive routine you were in over and over, delivering and sharing and ministering and giving. And there was just this under the surface hardness, plow pan, they call it, farmers call it the plow pan, where the plow runs over the field so much that it actually packs in a subterraneous, like almost concrete, and suddenly the crops suffer because the top's okay, but they can't get the roots down, the water can't get through, and all this. So here we have an agriculture 101 lesson. But the point is, you know, what Jose said, break up your fallow ground. It takes an extra deep plow to get down and break up that plow pan so that it can get everything flowing again. And I just really feel like you went through that season. And, you know, God just was gracious to you and went deep into you and broke up the wear and the tear of just doing. And so you're a man of routine, which is good. We all need routines in life. We need habits and practices. But there's also this deep digging that God has been doing to bring forth freshness and newness and to let your roots get even deeper. You've got good roots, but they're going to go deeper. Now, there's a steadfastness in you. That's a nice Christian way to say you're stubborn. You're steadfast. But there's a good tenacity in you, and because of your tenacity, you don't give up. And oh, you've had occasions, and you've had the thoughts, because that the devil loves to come to all believers and say, just give up, just stop, just what, it's not worth it, and all these negative, trying to get us to quit. And you're just not a quitter, brother. You're steadfast, and you're going to go for it. And there's a goal you have in mind, and there is reward that's promised to us through Scripture, and you're going to see not only earthly rewards, but there is truly heavenly rewards. And the Lord's just saying, son, keep going, you're doing fine, keep going. You're one that would like to compare sometimes, as we all do, and say, well, his church is bigger than mine, and they this and they that, and who do they think they are? And suddenly all that negativity, the devil just loves to just compare, always wants to put us up against an impossible standard. And there's one standard, you know, it's Jesus. And you know what? None of us compare. And that's what's so beautiful about our life in him, is that he just gave us the life. The great exchange came, and brother, you're good. You're good to go. You're in all the way, and you're approved, and you just need those words of affirmation. You love affirmation. You don't necessarily just, you know, put it out on social media and say, anybody got some affirming words for me today? It's not like you're soliciting. But at the same time, who doesn't need to be encouraged? Who doesn't? Scripture says, encourage one another daily. And so daily bread for you is encouragement from the Lord. And you do get your strength from him. And I think you're a man that loves Psalms and Proverbs. I think that's one of your favorite parts of the Bible, where you just get the wisdom, you know, that Proverbs gives, and you get the courage that David pours out to us in psalmic, you know, melody. And I think there's even a song that you like to sing. You're kind of a closet musician. You're not necessarily up on stage with a microphone and leading, but there's an ability to really worship God. And I just really feel like that's going to grow. I really feel like your voice has power, and your ability to worship and sing it brings strength to you. I just feel like that's a Yeah. You know, the one time we know for sure Jesus sang a hymn is right after the Last Supper and right before he went to the cross. There's something about him lifting his voice and singing a hymn that puts steel into his soul to get to the cross. And brother, singing and worshiping God for you puts steel in your soul, gives you strength through the day. And God just says he loves it when you lift your voice unto him. Do you have family? Do you have family? Yeah. I just see where God is reorganizing some situations in your family, and he's kind of moving, you know, as we say, the pieces on the chessboard. And where some thought maybe, but this is where I, exactly what I'm going to do the rest of my life. It's God's got plans, and he's got purpose, and he's got answers to your prayers. There's some things going on that you're praying about that are deeply in the kind of the center of your life that deal with family desire and growth, and I just feel like the Lord's just saying, son, I'm listening. I'm listening to those family prayers, and as much as they're on your lips, they're in God's ears, and they are being manufactured, okay, in heaven. Heaven's got an architecture that's being built for the answer to those prayers, and God's setting up structures and future structures for your children to even walk into. And you can rest in that. You don't see it yet, but you can rest assured God has a plan. And it doesn't mean you stop praying. We just can't. It's like in us as parents and grandparents, there's just such love there. But brother, rest assured, you don't have to figure it out. God's not asking you to come with the full built building. God says, come to me and know that I'm constructing as we go. And there's going to be a great fruitfulness that comes out of your early days, that your early sowing of seed is going to produce much fruit in latter days. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank
you,
brother.
Amen. Bless you, man. God bless you, Kirk. Come on down. Tell me your name again.
Mike.
Mike. Good to meet you, Mike. Excuse me. What's that?
I'm playing. I called Moses, my guy, but don't remember anything he said.
Praise God.
Yep, this is being recorded.
It's like I said, I'm so old, Moses is in my yearbook. Yeah. I'm so old, the Dead Sea was only sick when I was growing up. Anyway, there's a lot of those jokes. Well, Father, thank you for this mighty man. Thank you, Lord, for the breadth of kingdom sight that you've given him. And brother, you have journeyed up the mountain more than once, and you have climbed, and it's exhausted you sometimes. It took a toll on your physical being, but you knew that you had to ascend to the mountain so you get a better view. And God has given you eyes to see. He's given you a view. And he's bringing even another dimension of elevated sight to you in the days ahead, where you're going to begin to see, things that have to do with the future, that have to do with the final maturity of the saints. There is a finality to this, and I think the word finality and end and finish and these types of language is beginning to ruminate in you. Because it's a message that I think I alluded to it last night, that there's a readiness that's coming to the body of Christ. Get ready. We don't know when, but we're getting ready. And there's just something in you as a father to the saints and a fatherly figure that's going to help people shift their mindset toward finishing well. And Paul said so clearly, not that I've attained, and you know, I don't count myself, you know, as anything important, but if only I may finish. Paul saw the finish. That's what drove him and kept him going. And I believe, brother, you're going to get a greater view of the finish in the days ahead. Not a perfect view. Nobody has a perfect view, but you're getting a greater view as you go up the mountain. Come and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, and he will teach us his ways. And he's teaching you some fresh ways to how to navigate in the 21st century. You were born for such a time as this. You're a 21st century man. You don't look back and say, well, I'm a man of the 20th century. No, you were birthed in the 20th century, but you were made for the 21st century. You were made for such a time as this, to help prepare an army, to help prepare troops. Brother, there's battles yet to be fought, and there is a need for disciples. And that's just it. And brother, you're first of all, you're a disciple. You don't just disciple people. If you start out, you're a disciple who preaches. You're not just a preacher who disciples people. You're first of all, you're a disciple who declares and preaches. And out of your discipleship in your own track, God's going to continue to add members and numbers and people and disciples to you. And I see a very intentional group. I just alluded to this term we use, a development group. I want to impart that to you. However, God shapes it for you. But there's a merry little band of men that you're going to continue to grow and shoulder tap them. And you know, there's some guys actually waiting for you to just look at them. It's like, I wish you'd just look at me and pay some attention to me. They really want to be with you. And they're not sure how. And so God is just going to do what he did with Jesus. You're just going to go, hey, yeah, what are you doing Saturday morning? Yeah, follow me. Just that quick, tap him on the shoulder, come with me, and they're going to run. They won't hesitate because there's something you've got of wisdom and adventure and patterns and testimonies that you need to impart. And maybe you'll go through a book and maybe you'll read some scripture, but there are stories, brother. There are stories in you that are going to inspire and going to switch men on. And the laying out of hands is going to be an important technology for you in the days ahead. It says lay hands on no man suddenly. We know that. But there also is the power to impart and the power to ordain and to stir and release gifts and all the things and even healing. I believe you still love the fact that your God heals. You love Jehovah Rapha. He is the healer. It's the most mysterious, complex, and unorthodox doctrine in the Bible, healing, and yet it's everywhere. Amen. We can't deny it, and you don't deny it. I'm just saying that, brother, again, don't give up. Amen. And don't ever stop praying for the sick, because there is a healing dimension that comes when, basically, so when God's darn good and ready. that's when it comes. I say, why doesn't God heal this? I said, you know what? God does it when he is good and ready to do it. Because you know, there's just great kingdom depth behind every healing. There's purpose. There's a greater glory, like John 9 and the healing of the blind man. It's for the glory of God, always. And so you're going to see the glory manifested. You're going to see people pray for it. Here's the thing. You don't have to do all the laying on of hands. God wants you to multiply hands. Get lots of hands, train those hands, and release those hands. And I just see you, I see a big line of people wanting to be prayed for, and you're not even praying. You're just kind of monitoring, superintending, and releasing. That's that apostolic capacity you have to release. So the days ahead are going to be full of release. God is upping your apostolic authority and prowess. He's pointing clearly. You know, the word apostello, it points to a command that points to release. It points to a destination. And they were often ship captains. You know, an apostle was the captain of a big ship, so he was responsible to get all the supplies. And brother, I believe there's great resourcing coming to you in the days ahead. Because as the captain of the ship, you know what the ship needs to get to the destination. And call in the supplies. It's like God's opening up a new account for you, brother. A kingdom account. It's not just for anything, but it's for the journey. Yeah. What you need to take the ship to its port of destination is going to be well supplied. And so call on the Lord, but then you know what? God's going to have you call on some men. Amen. And you're going to share your heart, share your mission, share your vision, and God's going to supply. Amen. And just the fact that you inspire people with vision, they're going to go, how do I get in on this? Can I play? Yes. If you pay, you can play. You know, yeah. And people are going to pay. They're going to just give because they see the apostolic mission. Mission is going to grow, not just for you. It doesn't mean you get busier and have to be gone more. It just means that you're going to spread the vision of mission into other hearts. And even, brother, there's like a, I don't know, sorry, call it what we want, a seminar, some kind of a conference where you're going to caucus with like-minded men and women and impart vision for the future. I really believe you're not going to retire and you're not going to stop, but there is a beginning of a transition where you're starting to hand off things to younger men and women so they can carry the baton. far past, okay, your expiration date. And that's going to be a good thing. That's your heart. You're such a father, grandfather, you're a man of generations, and that's going to seep into everything you start doing. Is you keep giving away. Go out strong, brother. You know, you don't wait until you're weak and tired and say, well, I have to surrender my ministry. We don't surrender our ministries. God gives it. You're going to pass it on strong. You're going to show men and women how to run the race and how to seek the finish line and how to do what Paul said, if only I may finish that for which God called me as a proclaimer of the kingdom of God, proclaimer of the gospel, proclamation, raise up proclaimers, not just Bible teachers. We need Bible teachers. We got seminaries and colleges for that, but God wants you to impart the power to proclaim, even in the nations where there's going to be just even remote places that others are not thinking about. You know, they're not glamorous. We're going on a mission trip and we're going here. Where? Never heard of it. Yeah, it's not glamorous, but you know what? They haven't heard the gospel, and that's glamorous to God. It's very glamorous that there's people out there that have not heard yet. And there's just something stirs in you about the unreached people groups that are still, that's kind of like a residual, I don't know, just a passion that just kind of runs inside of you. It's almost like a pilot light that never goes out inside of you. Is there that yet those that have not heard? And God says, I'm gonna trailblaze for you. God's gonna trailblaze paths into unreached people groups so that you can apostle your way in. Amen. Send and release resource into the very remote areas. And so these are gonna be good days. There's also days of rest and writing where there's some things that God wants you to write for a legacy. And to leave a legacy and to leave patterns and disciplines for others to follow. And again, your personal testimony is very powerful. How God did it for me is going to say a lot, because we know God has done marvelous things and we have lots to read, okay? But there are those that want to know how he did it for you. So tell me again, how did this happen for you? How did you learn to hear the voice of God? How did you pray? How did you persevere? And these stories are going to carry many a heart into their destiny and in their future. Amen? Amen. 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 Thank you. Bless you, man. God bless you. Amen. Hi.
Barry, I'm telling you, we're loving you. Still are.
So it's Barry, right? Barry and Tanya.
Yes.
All right. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you, Lord, for this couple. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. Brother, you were honed in another quarry, and God exported you. There was a lot of honing going on behind the scenes where God was chipping and sandblasting and had the chisel on you for quite a long time, getting you ready to be fit in as a precious stone prepared by God himself. And brother, you fit in here so well because God quarried you and he shaped you and he established you. There's such a, you know, when the king calls for stones out of the quarry, the workers go to work. And the quality of your endurance is what makes you so valuable. He that endures hardness, Paul wrote to Timothy, as a good soldier. The enduring of hardness, tough things, breaking through, fighting through, believing, all those are just inner disciplines that run inside of you, brother. And you might get up and sing a nice song, but a lot of people have no idea what's the motor inside, what's really going on in there. That you don't just sing nice songs because the lyrics rhyme and it's in your key. You sing them out of conviction. You sing them because they mean, it's a message. And you're a bit of a minstrel. When Elisha was called to prophesy to the king. He said, bring me a minstrel and that I may prophesy. And you know how to connect the heart of God through music to the people so they can hear his voice. And it's, again, you don't just sing nice top 20 songs on the hit list. You're going for content. And the content comes out of your reservoir inside that you have worked on for years. And so there is a prophetic nature to your minstreling and your singing. And you don't just pick songs that are, well, they're all in the same key. Let's just do this series. You're like, no, there's a sequence here that it's almost like you craft a prophetic message through the songs you sing and the order because you're going somewhere. You know you want to go somewhere with the body. You want to bring the body into his presence and just kind of like, God, here we are. We've arrived. You know, worship is a journey, and there's an arrival. There's that peak where you get in the zone and you get in his presence, and the people know it. They don't necessarily understand it, but they know they've been brought somewhere, and that's part of your passion and your heart. And that's also true in you as a couple. You've got a lot of, because you've been honed in the quarry, you guys have all the tools. You have tools to make lively stones. You're going to chip and fashion and sand some rough people and bring them into a place that they'll fit into the wall of this particular church and other places too. And you're going to be enjoying the discipleship process. I think there's a whole fresh crop of disciples that are going to come into this church. And I'm saying that because God wants to ready your hearts and minds. God wants you to open your arms wide open in this year and say, we're going to just be a welcoming church. We're going to be an everybody church. We want everybody. And God's going to really deliver on exactly what Pastor Chuck said earlier, expectation. What are you expecting this year? Well, expect more people. Expect that you can reach people in this region. And so reaching is going to be part of your calling. I think both of you have some very outreach-oriented mentalities that are going to come and motivate people to go out, motivate projects. I think, Sister, you've even got some incredible ideas for some simple projects that are going to reach the region, reach the people. Just big events and certain things that actually are already going on in the city, and you're just going to weasel your way in there and represent Jesus somehow and have a Christ-like kingdom expression of what looks like a very secular operation. And you just say, yeah, well, we're from so-and-so church. Do you mind if we set up a booth? Can we do this? Can we do that? And you're just going to innocently, like, yeah, we're just a little church. And then, boom, you're going to have a gospel explosion, right? And suddenly it's going to like, who are those people? And I think, I just see God using the two of you to really break out, as we were talking about earlier, getting outside the four walls of the church and taking the kingdom out there, representing Christ out there. And you're just community people. God's going to give you favor. God's going to give you ways to get in. Sometimes it might be even through music, brother, where you'll do something musical that will open a door. But deeply, it's going to be who you are. It's going to be your love for people, loving the lost, and really caring. And not just like, you know, come to our church on Sunday morning, you know, this is the only time we can minister to you, is 1 hour this week. It's like, no, God's saying, I'm opening up all 7 days. God's just saying, all 7 days are outreach days, not just Sunday morning. There's going to be such a sense of, we are here to serve this city. We are here to represent him. And God's going to give you ideas and creativity. And do you have children? Yeah, I just see that flowing in your children. I see a lot of creativity. Almost over-creative sometimes, aren't they? It's like, we're going to paint that again. You want to do what? You want to wear what? You want to get what? And it's like, there's a little bit of a challenge because there's edginess, good edginess in your kids that want to be, you know, on the edge. That's okay. But God's going to... Yeah, well, no, they're edgy, yeah. And there's edgy things that they're going to do that will startle you, but it'll cause you to say, okay, watch and see. And there's a good, edgy, cutting ability they have to cut through fluff. They hate religion. You've trained them well in that. They can smell a phony a mile away, and they just won't put up with religious Phariseeism. They want the real deal. And so don't be surprised when they announce some things that you'll go, is that really church? And they'll go, well, not old-time religion, mom and dad. It's where God's taking us. And they're on a good journey. And they're going to make an impact. They're going to be reachers. They're going to be impactors. And they're going to make some disciples from some strange pools of fish. They don't fish in normal spots. Yeah, but they have some interesting fishing holes that God is going to lead them to. And they're going to draw some multicolored fish. And that's going to be a good thing, because God has a plan for all the nations and all the peoples. Thank you, Lord. There's something looming in the not-too-distant future that will be entrepreneurial for the two of you. There's an entrepreneurial endeavor that God is going to open to you. And it's not like God's not going to, you know, burden you with all this extra work. It's going to be an opportunity that he creates. And it's going to bring another income stream that's going to help fund some kingdom initiatives and things you really want to do. You have some deep desires before the Lord. You have some dreams, as we call them, but it's going to take some money. And God says, watch what I do. Watch what I do to fund your dream. God's going to do it. Sister, you've got great capacity to steward funds and to see money channeled in the right direction. You're very particular about dollars and cents. And because of that, God says, you're a good steward. I can trust you. And God's going to funnel some money in through some endeavors that are going to cause kingdom things to happen. And you're even going to finance some young people into missions and onto some trips. You're going to help some young people get on fire by just fueling their passion with reality. It's called finances. The Lord's laid on our heart to pay for this. What? I get to go? Yeah, you get to go because God told us to pay for it. And they're going to love you. They're going to love God. They're going to feel grateful. And something that you're just going to be like this behind-the-scenes catalyst to get some people mobilized. And, you know, it just takes finances sometimes to mobilize mission. And you guys are going to be behind the scenes. The thing about, you know, the gift of giving is an interesting gift that God pours out on certain people at certain times. And one of the ways you know someone's truly called of God to give is they like anonymity. They don't want to be known. It's like, don't tell anybody, but you know, this is for so-and-so. They just like to know that they're God's secret agent, that they're funding things. And it keeps the pride level down. Haha. And it keeps the covert operation all God's, where he gets the glory. And God just wants to bring you into that circle. And you're going to find such great joy. And you're going to find great fulfillment, and you're going to see God do miracles. You know, we often think of a miracle, you know, as like a physical healing or, you know, this and that. But sometimes there's miracles of provision, literally a miracle. You're going to be the hand of a miracle for a number of people because God's enlarging your heart of generosity. And that's a great kingdom DNA to grow. Say, God, just we want to be more generous than ever before. And you don't have to say for rainy days, brother. God's got big umbrellas. And you're going to have plenty, not only for the now, but for the later. And in the meantime, you don't wait until a certain amount. Say, well, when we feel secure, we have this much stocked away, then we'll think about giving. God says, start giving now. Start believing me, and God's going to just open up the windows of heaven in a new dimension. And just see that. And that's not everybody gets that privilege. Not everybody gets that kind of a word from God. But like I said, you spent a lot of time in the quarry. God knocked a lot of edges off you. And God did a lot of work to get you smoothed and ready to fit in to be suppliers for the kingdom of God and to make people ready and to empower people to do things. So get ready. This is going to be a good year of repositioning and God opening up things. And you know, I just want to say one more thing. I just get this analogy of the widow woman that was ready to die, and the prophet showed up and said, you know, do you have any, go get some vessels, and don't get a few, get a lot of them. And as much as she got, they all got filled up with oil. And I just feel like God's saying, this is your vessel gathering season. And say, just get a lot of vessels, And I think that's going to be projects and people. God is going to start giving you a list of projects and people that you want to see blessed and empowered. And as you gather them, as many as you gather, God says, I'm going to fill with my supply. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Woo.
That's good. Everybody wants a money prophecy, but nobody wants to go through the discipline. It's one of the most dangerous prophecies you can ever get. God's going to prosper you, and he's going to kill you in the process. Every bit of selfishness and greed will be driven out. God is good. Who do we have here?
William.
William?
Millie.
And Millie. All right. Billy and Millie. You were never called Billy, were you?
Oh, yeah.
Were you? Yeah. Now he's William. I like that. Hallelujah. Do you have children? Yeah. How many?
Two and two.
Two and two. See, anybody got a calculator? Four. Got it. Okay, got it. That's. I can't do anything without a calculator. No, that's great. Father, we bless this family, their children. God, we thank you for the life of grace that you two have clung to, and you guys are just dripping with the grace of God. You have learned that without grace, you know, life is just too hard. And you're thankful for grace, and you live by grace, you say grace, you emanate grace. And brother, there was a time when you weren't all that graceful. There was a time when it was more, law was a whole lot better, and you lived under the rules and regulations code, and you tried that for a season, and man, was it hard. And you know what? The law doesn't give life. The law, it just breaks you, and it's impossible. And then you realize, hey, somebody already fulfilled the law. Woo-hoo! Jesus did it already. Every requirement fulfilled by Christ. And now you live by grace. And boy, isn't it better, brother? Isn't it a whole lot better? It's a whole lot better living under the mantle of, I don't deserve this, but I couldn't earn it, and he just gives it anyway. Oh, the grace of God. The grace of God. I want to just sit here for a minute and think about the grace of God. Let's all just take a grace break. Seriously, just like stop for just a minute. We're here today by the grace of God. We're breathing by the grace of God. Wow. If you need a touch of his grace, just open up your heart right now, just in the room. Just say, God, yes. Acknowledge his grace. Supernatural, abundant delivery of Christ into your life. Thank you, Lord, for grace. We could all go home right now and say that was a big word, because it is. And, you know, if you don't carry anything else out of the room today, carry a big bucket of grace, okay? Because that's sustainable. Yeah. But God has some great things to mobilize you into. Sister, you're a worker bee. Boy, you're a hard worker. You can outwork a couple of three, four men. You can just get in and just get stuff done. And I wouldn't want you to inspect my cleaning jobs. I'm sure I would fail, because you've got an eye for detail. Did you clean under that? Did you pick that up? And it's like, oh, busted. You know, you were good at busting kids, you know, for trying to shortcut, you know, mom's system. It's like, no, you got to do it. It's mom's way or the highway. It's the way it's got to be, because you're meticulous and you're full of excellence, sister, and there's a right way to do things. And you're going to raise excellence even in the house. What you do in your own house is going to come into the house of God. And God's going to use you to upgrade some systems and upgrade some activity and to train. You guys are both going to be trainers. I see you working with other younger believers. And, you know, it's not like you're theologians suddenly and Bible scholars. You're just going to lead discussions and lead groups, discussing things that others have written. Just discuss. Open people up. That's the word. God's going to use you to open people up and just ask some probing questions and get them to open up and say, well, tell me about you. Now, where did you grow up? And, you know, where, these nice little innocent questions that are going to get people to open up about who they are and their journey. And then the Holy Spirit's going to show you where there's needs. Holy Spirit's going to show you where they need prayer. And you'll even see emotion switch in the middle of a conversation. You'll pick up on that and say, that's an indicator. They need something there. And as you do that, here's what's going to happen. You're going to just begin to grow in your pastoral qualities because we all have Jesus in us, and he was the great shepherd. You're going to shepherd people. Let's be frank. You're just going to help shepherd the sheep. You're going to help the lambs grow and stay healthy and feed and nurture them and care and check up on them, and that's just going to grow in you. So there's leadership that's going to come to you to care for people, and you're caring people, and that's why you're going to care for people. And there's going to be the excellence and the detail for you, sister. And brother, you're just going to be just a big teddy bear. You're just going to love them. And just, you know, no matter what they say, you're going to, that's okay. We're going to pray about that. It's like you've just been through the grace mill so much, brother, that you don't get ruffled like you used to. Like I said, you know, you tried law and it just was made you miserable. And so now you live by grace. And because you live by grace, you grace people. And there's going to be the EGR people. That's called extra grace required. There's some people's like, whoa, boy, they need some extra grace to handle. But you know what? You're going to have it because you're going to call on him who is full of grace and truth. He who is grace, grace personified in Christ. Grace becomes our teacher. Grace becomes our mentor. And you're going to be able to give that away to other people. There's a couple of young men that God's going to put particularly in your life, brother. You're going to take them on, and they are going to be your disciples. And it's like you're going to have the weight of knowing that if I don't do this, nobody else is. If I don't care for these guys, if I don't check up on them, nobody else is checking up on them. And they just need some fathering. They've got huge father gaps in their life, and they're going to need mentoring. And you're going to provide both. And I don't know who they are, but God's going to show them to you, and you're just going to know. And you're going to give yourself to them for a season. It's not a long term, it's not forever, but it's a season where it's going to make a difference in their lives, and they're going to be upgraded, and then they're going to be released. And you're going to find great joy in that. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to get addicted to that. Like Stephanus was addicted to the ministry of the saints. And there's going to be this addiction because it just is going to so fulfill you as a reproducer. I believe that there's been some gaps and some disappointments where you wanted to reproduce some things and they never quite gelled, it never came. And God says, I'm going to show you how I reproduce. You know, God set in motion in Genesis the seed principle, right? Seed time and harvest, that comes right out of Genesis. And brother, there's a healthy sowing that's going to take place in the next number of months and years into people, and you're going to see the harvest that's going to come out of that. So sow diligently, sow biblically, and as you sow faithfully, God is going to faithfully do what he said he would do, that the seed always multiplies. He said it. It'll always produce more than is sown. And God wants to show you how he grows people. And so it's a learning time for you, but it's going to be great joy, filled with great joy. And even there's going to be, again, small groups and couples that you'll reach and touch. I believe also your home is a place of hospitality. You love to have people over, and you've got some nice space there. And sister, you just love making the table groan with good eats. And you're just kind of a wizard in the kitchen, and just you're just like flying around like a bee all over the place. And we'll be to those, right, brother, that get in the way. So just stay out of the kitchen when she's in there. Just like let her do her thing. She's got it. And people are going to be really blessed coming to your house. And just having hospitality and food and care. Again, what's going to ooze out is this grace, shepherding, caring, and follow-up. And that's going to be really God's really intricate plan. Isn't that great? Grace, eating, hospitality, shepherding, and follow-up. It's a pretty foolproof formula, but it works for people because God made us that way. Amen? God bless you. Let's hear it for them. Let's hear it for this couple. Woo! We are so excited. It's like you're walking up to the execution block. It's like, I don't know if I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. It's like, we love you. They love you. And you said, Brother Saint, can't they just turn the chairs around? I don't want to look at all those people. This is not your favorite thing, brother. So it'll be over in just a couple minutes, I promise. You can close your eyes. I close my eyes because I can't stand looking at them either. So it just creeps me out. So, amen. So what are your names?
Jeremy.
Jeremy?
Sarah.
And Sarah. Well, we thank you, Lord, for Jeremy and Sarah. This is the last place they'd ever think they'd be on a Saturday morning getting a prophetic word from some stranger. But here they are. And God says, I got more surprises coming for you. I've got more things that are going to rock your world. I've got kingdom things that are going to astound you. I've got principles and patterns hidden in Scripture for you. And it's going to be your joy to begin to dig out some new promises and some new ways, new patterns. There are some kingdom strategies that God is going to reveal to you in your prayer life, how to pray. Brother, you know, personally, I think God is a man of few words. When God talks to me, it's very short. It's rarely even two sentences. It's usually a phrase. And when I pray, I just get right into it. And you know, sometimes, brother, you're hearing other people pray and you're going, oh my gosh, I am so lame when it comes to prayer. You just feel like, I can't pray that way. And God says, I don't want you to pray that way. I want you to pray Jeremy prayers. Because God hears your prayer before they come out of your mouth. Isn't that kind of interesting? But God says, get them out of the mouth so that they get into the atmosphere and so the devil can hear them too. Brother, you're going to make the devil very nervous in the days ahead because you're going to begin to roar like a lion. And I don't mean being a lunatic and stuff. You're just going to have the boldness to speak out. God has given you a voice for a purpose. And part of it is to shape some things for your future in prayer with God. And God is going to give you things to pray. God is such a cheater. Notice how quiet went in the room when I said that? Because everybody's going, what? God cheats. He sent us the Holy Spirit. He cheats. He actually prays for us. He's interceding right now. We're in this room, and guess what? Holy Spirit's praying for us. Here's the other cool thing. He tells you what to pray. He cheats. We don't have to like, oh, I don't know what to pray. Guess what? There's a promise in Romans 8 about the Holy Spirit. Not only is he making intercession, it says he speaks what the Father's saying. He prays according to the will of God. And I don't know about you, but I know I've missed it 100 times. But when I listen to how he wants me to pray, I just pray the prayer that he's praying. And guess what? That's a good cheat, man, anytime. That's not even a gamble. Now, the key to that is getting tight with the Holy Spirit. That's why I said God's got some interesting things in the Scripture that he's going to show you about the Holy Spirit, because he's the one representative on the planet that's still working heaven down here. And you're going to find out how great a prayer the Holy Spirit is. And Paul said something astounding to me in 1 Corinthians 14. He says, well, what is it then? He said, well, I'll tell you what it is. I will pray with my spirit, and then I'll pray with my understanding. You know, most Christians pray with their understanding and forget they even have a spirit to pray. They try to pray out of their brain, their noggin here. You got a good brain, brother, but you know what? No brain matches the Holy Spirit's brain because he's spirit. And you know what? Pray with your spirit. And that's, again, God's really overhauling, okay, your language matrix. Have you been baptized in the Holy Spirit, brother? I don't want to put you on the spot. Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
I don't think so.
Well, I think this would be a good day to do that, where God just wants to fill you, okay? We're born again by the Spirit, we know that, and we're baptized into the body of Christ. So the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ, right? And then believers baptize one another in water, okay? But Jesus, that rascal Jesus, he baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that cool? See, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. We baptize one another into water, but whoo, Jesus said, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So the same idea of immersing into water to be water baptized, he's immersing you into the realm of the Spirit. And I just really feel like that's for you, because he wants to switch on Holy Spirit language. The beautiful gift that the Holy Spirit brings, all that God has gifts, okay? God sent his best gift to planet Earth, it was Jesus Christ. Jesus sent his best gift, that was the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit sent his best gift, and that was spiritual language, the ability to communicate with God. That's the best he could do. So when he showed up on the day of Pentecost, everybody began to communicate directly to heaven in spirit language. I'd say tongues, but it freaks people out, so we don't say tongues. We call it spirit language because that's what it is. It's a language given by the Spirit, and it's supernatural. It's as the Spirit gave the capacity and the utterance to do that. It's supernatural. God is here to totally wreck your speaking mechanism and renovate it and turn it into something powerful. I'm just going to pray a prayer and lay my hands on you. You got to do one thing, brother. Receive a gift. Can you receive a gift? Man, if I had a $100 bill and said, would you like this? He said, yeah, you'd snatch it right up. Well, this is better than a $100 bill. This is the Holy Spirit baptizing you, immersing you, filling you. Right there, that's it. It's no abracadabra, it's just heart. Open your heart, brother. Just like you received Jesus as a gift, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. There you are, now you're doing it. It's like wind. It's like filling your lungs. It's like pouring in the oil and the wine. Boy, that's good stuff. Right there. Oh, you're full, man. Yeah. Whew. What's really cool is you get out of this building and get alone. You can use his language. And just know that he's going to give it to you. There's only one requirement. You got to open your mouth and yield your tongue. And that little tongue, that darn little tongue, as James said, oh, that little member. He's the naughtiest member of our whole body. And no man can tame it. But the Holy Spirit can. No man can, but the Holy Spirit. He can tame your tongue. He can teach your tongue. And he can cause it to say syllables that you don't even have to pre-think. They just come. And it just begins to flow. Right out of here, right out of here, not out of here. So that's coaching tongues 101 right there. You're going to have it. And you know what? You can pray with Pastor Chuck. Any of these guys will just pray with you. But brother, you got it. You got filled just now. And that's a mechanism of spiritual stature that's going to propel you into some whole new vistas. And I'll tell you what, you're going to read the Bible differently. You're going to talk differently. You're going to pray differently. And sisters, isn't it good to know that God answers prayer? Yeah, all your big dreams have just got answered in one event. Holy Spirit, because that's what changes us. Not that you're not unhappy with this guy, you're just saying, God, I know there's more for him. She's been praying for you, brother, and she wants to see you. She sees the potential God sees. God gives our wives a particular private look into our lives that even other men don't get to peer into. And they just have like binoculars and x-ray vision. It's not fair. But it's necessary. We'd be dead without it. So God is so good. Sister, you do have what we call women's intuition. But that's part of your spirit. Part of the functionality of the human spirit is fellowship and intuition and conscience. And so your intuition, where you know when you shouldn't know, but you know, and it saves kids and husbands from a lot of grief. And keep knowing, sister, because, you know, you're going to be moving in that realm. That's where the gifts of the Spirit flow out of the intuition of our spirit. Have you received the Holy Spirit too? You have? You speak in that crazy language? Not yet? You will. You guys are going to have some tongues parties. You're just going to say, you're just going to be listening sometimes and catching each other speaking in tongues and going, yeah. I love it when I catch my wife speaking in tongues. And she's really private and she's not loud. But man, every now and then I'll just, oh, she's praying in tongues. Because I'm thinking she's praying for me. I'm very selfish. I'm sure some of that spirit language is going for me. And you're going to find great capacity, the two of you, praying in the Spirit for each other and for your family. For, you have children? Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what, that is the greatest gift of all, to pray in the Spirit for your children. Because, man, you just don't know. There's not enough wisdom on the planet to get it all right. But you can pray in the Spirit. I love this. I think God loves talking about the Holy Spirit. He's got books and books and books about it. Jesus couldn't stop talking about him. Jesus said, I'm leaving, but I'm sending him. He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. And they're a crazy team, man. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they get it all done. And I'm just telling you, this is a new, wow, I'm just so excited for the two of you. Amen. See, the baptism of the Holy Spirit changed my life. It brought me into the kingdom and absolutely changed my life. And I love him. Him. It's a guy. It's him. I love him. He's my best friend. And he talks to me and he puts up with me. And he's nice to me. And you need that. Both of you need that friend. And it's going to make your friendship even better. It's going to make your marriage better. It's going to make your house zing with joy and fruitfulness. And you're just at the right place at the right time. Man. Now I know why Jesus could just go on and on about the Holy Spirit. Man, he did 3 chapters in John. He just couldn't stop. One long dissertation about the Holy Spirit. John's the only one that got it all. And it's so powerful. You need to read that. John chapter 14, 15, 16 is just amazing. Read that today or maybe tonight. Just read John chapter 14, 15, 16 and just look at how Jesus embellished the Holy Spirit and what he can do for us and in us. Whew. I am blown away. I don't know if you feel anything, but I do. The anointing of God is right here on you. And that's what you ought to understand. It's the anointing. The Christos, which is the name Christ in the Greek, means anointed one, the anointed one. The Christos is here through the Holy Spirit. Amen. He brings Christ. Whew. Hallelujah. Healing. Both of you need some healing. We're not talking about Band-Aids and scratches and bruises. I'm talking about right deep down in your hearts. Thank you, Lord. Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. You've had some heartbreaks and heart cracks. There's a little bit of fractures here and that. And God's healing right now. Just sit and receive, brother and sister. This is like God's having a party, and you are the guests of honor right now. Just be a little selfish and receive. Just say, I want it all, God. I'll take it. Man, I love just laying out of hands for impartation. Receive. Just receive. Whatever you need. Holy Spirit's whispering right now in your ears, you need this. You need to be healed. It's okay. Man, is he comforting. Jesus called him the Comforter. Sister, there's a lot of comfort coming to you. Oh, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, where you had some very uncomfortable incidents in your life. He's comforting you. He's healing you right now. It won't disappear. He can't make it go away, but what he can do is come and heal you and comfort you and make you whole. No more fractured life. You don't have to live out of your fracturedness. Out of what was missing, God's coming to, wow. Just make it whole. There you are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Guys, the body of Christ is the earthly representation of what heaven's going to be like. Family, loving one another. We're all learning how to do that better, but here's the deal. We're a loving, giving, healing community. You're going to get a greater sense of love because there's another promise in Romans 5 that says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I just feel like you guys, your love tanks were so low coming in here. God's just filling up your love tanks with the love of God. There's not enough human love to go around. There's just not enough. No marriage can supply enough. No kids, grandkids, there's just not enough. But Holy Spirit fills you with the love of God. I'm just laboring this because this is what the Lord's telling me to do, and I'm not in a rush, and neither is he. I'm not like, oh, let's hurry up and get the next people up here, because God is doing a miracle. Sometimes you just got to let God work. I'm letting him work. And it is good. Man, it feels good. Thank you. Just keep receiving for a minute. Just get a little greedy. Come on, say, I want more, Lord. More, Lord. Yeah, Yeah, you got family members, brother, that really need Jesus. And that's one of the things you're going to start praying like never before. You're just going to just pound heaven. That's when the lion is going to roar. And you say, devil, take your hands off my family. Take your hands off my brothers. And get your hands off. They belong to God. You're just going to get ferocious. You're going to understand your authority in the kingdom. You're going to take dominion. The very first command from God in Genesis was, take dominion in this earth that I just made for you. Brother, you're going to be a dangerous man to the devil. Because you're actually going to start believing everything the Bible says. That's crazy. They're really going to believe your authority in Christ. You're going to believe you have authority over principalities and powers and wickedness. You're going to believe that you're sanctified and righteous, and all those nice flowery theological words really mean something. Wow. God has created a power couple this morning, right here. Because he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. God declares over two of you right now, power couple. You're a power couple. You're not weak. You're not second rate. You're not fractured and broken and any less than anybody else. You are a power couple because you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's in charge. And Jesus said he will lead you and guide you into all truth. Wow. You're going to be on a truth pursuit. I'm telling you, you're going to read your Bible different from this day forward because the Illuminator lives in you. He's the Revelator. He'll shed light in darkness. Oh, man, it's going to be good. Shadabakata. Let's all speak in tongues for just a minute. Don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. Hallelujah. Wow. Why did I just do that? Number one, I ran out of words. I didn't have enough English. So I switched to spirit language. It's unstoppable. You're going to be doing this. This is so cool. See, this had to get on the recording too. You can go back and say, no, what's that sound like? Just, you know what? Fake it till you make it, man. Just imitate. How do you teach kids to talk to mama? Say mama. Nene. That's close enough. Isn't he cute? God just says, that's close enough. Now try it again. And God says it's so cute to him as dad when we try to speak his language. We try to speak spirit language and it comes out mumble. We think, oh, it's mumble jumble. And the devil will try to tell you, that's just a bunch of nonsense. You're making it up. It's mumble jumble. And you say, shut up. You can't do it. And I can. That's why he's so jealous. He's so jealous, envious, and just give him a black eye, brother. That's that lion. Man, I just keep seeing a lion here. And you've been a little nice cub, but brother, you're coming into age, and it's the Holy Spirit that does it. He brings that lion spirit, like the lion of Judah. Jesus was the lion and the lamb. There's still a gentleness and a goodness side of that. But there's a lion emerging in you. Amen. 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 I'll tell you one more thing God's going to do for you. There's a financial strategy right out of the Word of God that he's going to deliver to the two of you. It might come in a book or even a sermon or something. There's something God's going to put in your hands that's going to be a blueprint for your finances. and it's going to dig you out of a little bit of a hole. It's not a bad hole. It's not a sinkhole. Nevertheless, it's a hole, and God says, I'm going to dig you out, and I'm going to raise you up, and you're going to have surplus. The word surplus has not always been in your vocabulary when it comes to money. And you know what? God says, I'm going to give you surplus, extra, because he can trust you to do what he wants to do and to bless you. Amen? Wow.
Yes.
Praise God. That was wonderful. That's wonderful. What's her last name? What's your last name?
Lindemann.
What is it? Lindemann. Meet the new Mr. and Mrs. Lindemann. They're new. Wow. I didn't want to stop. That was, you feeling the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
He's just dancing all over the room today. Wow. Let's do another. Who's next? That's it? Oh, whoever I want. Wow. Whoever the Holy Spirit wants. Okay. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. All right. You've been really good, so stand up. Just stand up. This kind of breaks the routine and just gets us into a different zone. And just lift your hands and look to him. Don't look at me. Just look to him and say, oh, God. Just give him a little bit of worship. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We thank you. God, you're so good. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. All glory to you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Well, you can be seated. We'll just go for a few more minutes and then take a break, but what's your name right here, sis?
I'm on the target list.
You're on, oh, she's on the list. See, I prayed. I said, God, take me to somebody on the list. No, I didn't. I don't know. There's no anointing to pick people out. It's just total faith, so we'll get you later. How about all the way in the back, the last couple? Is it a couple? Are you on the list? All right, who's not on the list? Raise your hand. I'm not on the list. Up here, here. So let's, you two come up.
We're not married.
I know.
Okay.
I'm guessing, but that's good. Good to clarify. I have made that mistake too. I'll just do it one at a time. Just, you can both stand up here. So you're not married either? You're not married to him.
I'm not married to him, but I'm married.
Is your spouse here? Okay, that's right. We'll just, what's your name?
Lisa.
Lisa. Yeah. Father, thank you for Lisa. Lord, thank you for, wow, what a heart to serve, a heart to get in, roll up the sleeves, get it done. Sometimes you show up early and sometimes you leave late, but heart of a servant. And God says you don't have to do it all. I think God wants to reproduce you. God wants you to just kind of be a recruiter for the ministry of helps and what we call our serve team. We don't call them volunteers. Volunteer means it's temporary and I'm not going anywhere. I'm doing a job, but a servant, I'm a servant, means I'm serving others and I'm going to serve as Jesus served, and you suddenly become a leader. And you're going to create leaders by causing them to see serving as not just a little stopgap job I do. It's something I do to grow in Christ. And you're going to grow people in Christ by plugging them in and giving them things to do and giving them that mentality that I'm here to serve. It's my privilege to serve. And and in that, there's going to be future casting. Part of serving is seeing the future. Why am I serving in children's ministry? Because this is the future. These kids are the future. Why am I changing diapers on a Sunday morning with some kid I've never met before? Because their parents are getting equipped and they're going to have their marriage strengthened, and you're serving them. See, all these things all have to do with, I'm serving, I'm serving, I'm serving, I'm serving. And suddenly, we see the future, and we replicate that in other people. Whoa, it's going to cause a servolution. Yeah, it's going to hit upper room, a servolution, where people are just going to be so, like I said earlier, addicted to serving. They're going to be, and I think you're going to even, God's going to give you some projects to do in the community. You're a community woman. You love the community. You love, there's just certain places you love to always go and hang out. You know clerks, you know people that, you know, in the grocery store, you just know people. And you've got a real capacity for names. And people love to hear their own name. Aren't we weird? We're all weird. We love to hear our name. And people love it when you remember their name. And it just, it's just almost going to be such a joy for you to just say, hey, Mary, how are you? It's like, she called me Mary. Without a name tag, how does she do that? Because you care. You're going to show tender, loving care. Do you have children?
Yes.
Yeah, how many children do you have?
Three.
Three. Wow, busy mom. But you know what? They're such a joy. And they're a handful, as we all know. But you're shaping little servants. That's another thing you're doing well in your home. What you're doing in your home is spilling over into the church and vice versa. And I just see appetite growing in your kids for Jesus. There's just going to be an appetite. And you're going to be seeking God on how to, quote, prepare the right kinds of food spiritually so that their appetite will grow. You can increase spiritual appetite by serving the right things. They're going to get hungry. And I just see, again, wisdom coming. You've cried out for wisdom. But you know what? Jesus gives us promise after promise that if we cry out for wisdom, he'll give it to us. Any of you need wisdom, James says, right? James 1:5, what a great promise. He gives it liberally. Mm-hmm. So the wisdom's going to come for your children. And those prayers, God hears them all. Prayers of desperation, prayers of I quit, all those prayers, he hears them all. And you know what? You can pour your heart out to God. Just pour out every concern and care. And there's an emptying that's necessary sometimes. God just wants to encourage you. And that's what the Bible calls supplication. It's where we empty ourselves before God, not knowing the answer. You know it's okay to come to God and not know the answer? That describes about 95% of my prayer life. I don't know. That's why we come to God. But when we come and empty ourselves, then God pours wisdom back in. Mm-hmm. Amen. I just see some kind of a, I don't know, just something that's going to trigger your children's appetite for the things of God. It's just, I don't know if it's, it could be something as simple as a DVD or a something, but there's something God's going to give you to answer a prayer of your heart, to just switch them on in a whole nother level. And it's just going to be something that you're going to get just as excited as them. It's not like, go to your room and watch Bible videos. And it's like, hey guys, we're going to do this, and we're going to, this adventure and this adventure. And it's just going to stir them. And God's going to get a hold of them. That's our duty, right? As mom and dad, we continue to bring our kids before the Lord until that time when he regenerates their heart, like he did our heart, and they're his project. Children are the heritage of the Lord. Isn't that a promise? Yeah, they're his heritage. That means the word means assignment. He assigns us these wonderful children that he wants. They're good kids. They're going to do good things for the Lord. They're going to be serving. How? Just give me their ages. I'm trying to...
24, 18, and 16.
Yeah, they're just serving. Like, there's part of your DNA to serve is in there. And there's just going to be some things that God's going to unlock in the realm of serving. And you're just going to see the joy. It could be as simple as, you know, being a greeter at church or just helping the homeless. There's something's going to switch them on. In the heart of God is going to come out. Amen?
Amen.
Hang in there. Amen. What's your name?
Bill.
Bill.
Yes, sir.
Is this your church?
No, sir.
It's not? Where do you?
Alliance Christian Center with Kirk Martin.
Okay. Oh, you're with Kirk.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I'm going to pray for you, Bill. Father, thank you for Bill. Father, I thank you for his stature and his wisdom. Brother, you've carried things as an intercessor. Sometimes we think, you know, intercession is... you know, some group of ladies that have nothing to do on Tuesday morning and they pray and drink tea. And, you know, it's like, that's the intercessors of the church. Brother, you're an intercessor. That's a noble title, if I could say it, to be identified as an intercessor. Actually, we're all called to be intercessors. There's no office of an intercessor. We created that for some strange reason. But, brother, you know how to intercede. Entuncano is the Greek word, and it means to lend your access, to go before like a barrister or like an attorney to go and present a case before a higher authority, where you lend your access to God to someone that doesn't have it. That's an intercessor, standing in the gap, interceding for the weak and the hurting, the ones that are ignorant of Christ. And brother, God's hearing that, and God wants to encourage you, step it up. God wants to take you to a whole nother level of intercession and bring names before him and family members. You've got a couple family members you're interceding for, and God knows it, and you're lending your access to God on their behalf, and they're going to benefit from it. And God says, I'm working. God is working in your prayers. And there's just another strange word that Jesus used about the woman that just would not, or about the guy that came to the friend at midnight, kept knocking on his door for bread, you know. He just wouldn't go away. And finally the guy said, okay, I'm coming. And he said, he gave him the bread, not because he was his friend. He said, you're not my friend, I'm unfriending you on Facebook as soon as you leave. He came because, and this is the funny word, because of his importunity. He just wouldn't give up. That means shamelessness. The guy just was not ashamed to knock on his neighbor's door at midnight to get something to eat for his friends. And he said, I am not giving you bread. I'm giving you bread so you will go away. And brother, you've got importunity. Steadfast. You just keep knocking. You keep knocking and keep knocking. And say, God, I know eventually you're going to answer. Now, Jesus, as a rabbi, taught a lot of these stories contrast. They were contrasting illustrations. So, see, God is a friend that's never going to say, go away, you're bugging me. He's the faithful one that will always bring bread. Brother, here's the other thing. You're a man of bread. You know how to get bread. That's the word of God. You know how to bake bread, make bread, break bread, and hand it out to the hungry. And, brother, your days of discipling are far from over. You've got disciples lined up. God's got some disciples lined up waiting for you. And brother, make some more disciples. Why not? Man, make some more. You've made some. Make some more. That's pretty much all there is to the Christian life. Jesus said, go and make disciples. He never said, go to church. Now, it's good to go to church and make disciples. I'm just saying his main thing was go and make disciples of all nations. And here's the thing, brother, you don't have to do all the going. There's a time you were a busy guy going, almost gone. Now they're going to come to you. Call them to yourself. Meet me for coffee Tuesday morning. Boom. Just put the shingle out. Bill's open for business. Bill's discipleship shop is open. And brother, you're going to have your own little place you like to meet. You've got a couple places you like to hang out. They're Bill's hot spots. So hang out and don't hang out alone. Get some other guys. Get some young guys. You are dripping with wisdom, brother, because you have made a lot of mistakes, haven't we all? That's where wisdom comes from. It's like, I really blew it here, and I'll never do that again. That's called wisdom. And you have wisdom to give some young men, some young fathers, some guys with no fathers. You've got wisdom. There's such a fatherly mantle on you. And it can't be contained just in your natural family. God wants it to get into his family in a greater download of Bill, the Father heart of God. Father heart of God. Thank you, Lord, for this Father's heart. And you are a good Father. And the enemy's tried to tell you just the opposite. Oh, you blew it here, you blew it here, and you blew it here. And you've believed it half the time, but God's saying, no. Good Father. My Father, the Father I made, the Father I used, God used you. Not deficient. Brother, you're a little hard on yourself. God's just coming to soothe you a little today. Say, Bill, you're all right. Jesus really does love you, and he has been with you through thick and thin. Yeah, he's been with you. You know why, brother? You built your house on an incredible rock years ago. There was a time you built on sand, and man, the waves came and the winds came, and you almost had a total destruction, but you said, from now on, it's the rock. And you have built and built and built on a rock. Guess what? Winds still come, rain still come, storms still come. Yeah, but you know what? Can't destroy what you built on the rock, brother. Teach young men how to build their house on the rock, because you're a builder, and God's going to use you to build young men for the next generation. Amen?
Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. All right. Ding, it's 11 o'clock. Boom, right on time. So I'll turn it over to you. Tell us what to do, and we'll take a break.